I want to share with you just a bit of a devotional as we then prepare to have some time together to seek the name, the face of Jesus Christ, the face of our God. Psalm 24, the passage that Jan just read for us, opens this way. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof. The earth, this earth that we walk on that seems so huge, wasn't put here by accident. It didn't just happen to come into play. It was intentionally designed by God, placed in its orbit, at the right distance from the sun, at the right distance from all the other planets, placed here by God. It belongs to Him. He founded it upon the seas and established it upon the rivers. Similar to that, a similar message in Psalm 8 says this, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have displayed your glory above the heavens, and throughout the earth we see his name, his glory shown, the God of the universe. Psalm 8 continued, When I looked at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon, the stars which you have set in place, then the psalmist has to reflect, when I look at these things and understand the power, the sovereignty of the one who put all those things in place, and then recognize that we are but a piece, we're a speck of dust in one sense, we'd have to wonder, as the apostle or as the author did, what is it? What is it about man that God would be mindful of us? In fact, if you study the scriptures, it's more than he's just mindful of us. All that we see was put here by him for us, to bless us, to show his glory to us. And then going even further, in just wonder and amazement, the psalmist reflects and says, wow, not only are you mindful of us, not only have you given or put all this in place for us, Lord, in something that makes our minds go tilt and something we can't fully grasp, you have invited us to participate with you in the nurture, in the reign, in the rule of these things. Scripture declares that he has given dominion to mankind. Even though Adam and Eve and we in like manner have failed over and over, yet God has given into your hands and my hands authority over the things of his creation. And so we come back to Psalm 24 after the psalmist declares, just wonders about these things that God has put there, how wonderful he is, how awesome he is. Then he asks the question, with that understanding that the God that created all this, that sits on high, he asks the question, who could ever come into the presence of God? Who may ascend the hill to enter into the throne room of God? The God who created all this stuff, and we're but a speck on a speck in the middle of a whole bunch of other specks in the middle of this universe. How is it he's mindful of us, invited us to be participants with him in his work, in his creation? And then he wonders, how in the world, who could ever ascend to that place, come into your presence? Then he responds, he says, he who has clean hands, a pure heart, who doesn't seek to manipulate, who doesn't, things around him, people around him, who doesn't swear falsely, whether it's towards others or to idols around him, that person may ascend the hill. And yet, you have to wonder, how could any of us really have clean hands and a pure heart? Because we know that somewhere deep inside us is the vileness of the world, of this creation, of the fallen nature of mankind. We know it's there. And yet we recognize when we think about that answer, we think about our own selves, we have to affirm with Isaiah when he said, man, and when we consider ourselves, when we consider mankind at large, our societies is clear. Mankind is far from God. Our society is spinning out of control. It would seem as though running as fast as they can in a direction away from God. Yes, our hearts, everything that we try to do is tainted. Even our attempts to find God, to pursue God, is mixed up with our fallenness, our brokenness. We, our righteousness, our seeking God is as filthy rags. And because of that, we recognize that this life, no matter how long we live, it's full of sorrow. It's full of corruption, and one day, because of sin, we will all wither away and die. But God. Romans 10 tells us that recognizing all this truth and that our righteousness is as filthy rags, that God fixed the problem. He loves us so much that he came up with a scheme, a way to remove our sin from us, far from us, and instead give us the purity of heart that we need, the clean hands that are not our own. He found a way to impute to us, to put upon us the righteousness of his Son, Jesus Christ. And to do that, he killed his Son, nailed him to a cross. He took the one who knew no sin, who had never touched sin, who had never conceived sin, never walked in sin, and he put upon him our sin so that his righteousness could be given to us, that we might become the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus. And so, when we think about who is it that may ascend the hill of God, the answer being he who has clean hands and a pure heart, not gained of ourselves, but imputed, given to us freely by God. Then Scripture goes on to say, that person will receive a blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. You and I have been given the privilege of walking in a holiness and in a righteousness that is not our own because of the work of Christ Jesus. God has handed to you and me the opportunity to interact with all of creation that his name might be brought honor and glory through your lives and through my life. One of the privileges we have because of all that stuff is we can come and standing as representatives of him, standing as a mirror, a reflection of him, we can talk to him on one side, Father, what's your heart? Father, help us to bring honor and glory to you. We can go and we interact with the world around us. We see what's going on, and we have the privilege of bringing from his presence, his goodness, his presence, his word, his truth, his blessings to a world that doesn't deserve it just like we didn't. But we have been given that privilege. And so Psalm 24 says, such these that have been given righteousness, not their own, but given to us by God. God given us clean hands, given us the privilege of coming into his presence. Such is the generation of those that will seek him, those that seek the face of the God of Jacob, the God of Israel. You and I have been given the privilege of seeking his face, of coming into his presence, ascending up the hill, talking with him face to face. Guys, wake up! The God of the universe has invited you into his presence to come and sit at his table, to talk to him, to share your concerns, your burdens, to go into the world that needs to know who he is and know of his presence, and to bring back the reports to his throne room, to talk with him about what you've seen and what you've heard and what the needs are, and then bring that blessing back with you into the world around us. That is the privilege that we have been given. And so when we come together and we have an opportunity to pray, it shouldn't be like, oh, it's just a prayer service today. Guys, we have the privilege of coming before the God who loves you so much that he nailed his Son to a cross, that we might have this privilege, not just to be adopted into his family, but to go forth with his blessing, his anointing on us to bring the goodness of God to bear in this world. And so when we put our voices together, we pray together, we seek his face, it is a tremendous privilege that we have been given. That the world outside there, until they come to Jesus Christ, has not yet walked into that blessed opportunity that you and I have. And yet we get to do it freely in this country, most likely not under threat of the death of our lives. God has given us that privilege. And so we have the opportunity right now to experience that privilege, to walk in that privilege, to exercise that privilege. What a privilege it is! And what a love that God has shown you and me, that he's invited us to sit at his table, to fellowship with him, and then to go forth as his representatives to bring honor and glory to his name throughout the world. So, having said that, we remember also that Jesus, when he did all that for us, he didn't just invite us to come as servants into the presence of the Father. He invited us to come as children. He gave us, when the apostles asked him, well, teach us to pray. He didn't give us all the wonderful words that are all true of God the Father, God. He's Jehovah Jireh, he's our healer, our provider. He's our peace. He's our healer. All of those things. And yet the term that Jesus said here, when you go into his presence, use this term, Father, our Father. There's two thoughts there I want you to catch as we prepare to go to worship and then to prayer. The opportunity to call him Father, that God of the universe, is our Father who loves you so much that he took the cost upon himself to give you that opportunity. But there's also, Jesus said, our Father. There's something we respond to God as individuals, but we walk it out in a place of community. God has placed us in a community with brothers and sisters that together help refine us, help shape us, help us to reflect the glory and the love of God. And so today we go in response to the invitation of Jesus into the presence of God. So we have to think one more time. Why would then Paul say, rejoice always? Because of the tremendous privilege we've been given. Rejoice. Pray. Talk with your Father all the time. This is awesome. Swim in it. Rejoice in it. Have a celebration because of what Jesus Christ has done. That's, we read these things, it's just like, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Guys, rejoice that we get the opportunity to pray and to see God face to face. This is the confidence we have because of what Jesus did. That not only are we praying, we're not praying to a God of stone, a God of our own creation, a God carved out of wood. We are praying to that God who created all those things that the psalmist was wondering about. And we have this confidence that he hears us. So we're not just throwing our prayers up. Sometimes you put a letter in the mailbox and you go, oh, yeah, I put a stamp on it, I hope it gets there. Oh, little kids writing their letters to Santa Claus, I hope he gets it. There's no Santa Claus that we're writing to. We are speaking to the God who's there, affirming us day by day and answering our prayers. And so, with that in mind, we recognize we can come, we can knock, we can seek him for ourselves, for our families, for our community, and he will hear us and respond. Amen? So I'm going to ask you if you'll stand with us.